The Holy Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus prayed, I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given to me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them. And they know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified through them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Heavenly Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given to me. I guarded them. Not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that Scripture may be fulfilled. But I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that my joy may be made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world. I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself so that they may be sanctified in truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And it's so wonderful to see a lot of you here. And it's also going to be wonderful to see who is joining us online. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's just good to see you all here. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being here as well as you're joining us from home or online. So I have some things I brought with me this morning. Actually, they're all pretty much the same thing. I have a collection of these hats. And everywhere that we go, I usually pick up a hat. And I want to see today how many of these hats I can actually put on my head. So we're going to count. There's two, right? And all these hats kind of have a story behind them. I mean, every time we go somewhere, I usually pick up a hat. This one, look, still has the tag on it. I haven't even worn it yet. But it's from our last trip to SeaWorld. It was a pretty good trip as far as I remember. Do you know how many we're up to yet? That's four? Can you guys help me count? Five. Here's an old one from our old high school back in Middlebury. There's six, I think. There's seven. Holy cow. Eight. I might need some help later on. I don't know if my arms will be tall enough. I better start going the other way here. Is that about 10 or 11? 10? All right, thank you. We have 12. 11? I'm trying to add more than I have, don't I? It's starting to get a little bit difficult to balance, but we're doing pretty well. Okay. How many? 14? So this is 15? Is it 16? Oh, look at this one. You can tell I'm a pastor, and I have that one on. Oh, 18? Thank you for counting. Okay, the story behind this one, this came from high school. This is an actual old painter's cap. Anybody born around, not, born in, but high school in the 80s with Noah painter cap.
You always wore those when you're out and about.
Okay, was that 19? Is this 20? Holy cow. Good old USA cap, 21. And then, of course, we got to have a nice IU cap going on top there. And if that one wasn't enough, we'll put another one on top of it. And yes, I saved your favorite for the last. That one was bought. Oh my goodness, I'm stretching to get that one up there. How many do we have?
23.
Wonderful. Unbelievable. 23. And it is. It's kind of hard to, oh my goodness, get all those on my head and keep them there. So today, after you leave here, you can go out and tell people that your pastor had 23 hats on all at the same time. And he had a story for each one of those hats. And you know what that means? It means you're sharing something with other people. You're actually testifying to what you saw today. Jesus always asks us and the disciples to testify to what Jesus is doing. Jesus loves his disciples. Jesus loves everyone. That is what we need to testify and tell and share with people out there in the world. Just as you share crazy stories about the things that you see, maybe in church or away from church. All right, let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity to share your love with others. Help us to show that love and to testify to your love with others during this time and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you this wonderful morning. You know, we often hear the phrase, make a name for yourself. And most of us know what that means. There's a picture that's going to be coming up here. If you make a name for yourself or make your name as something, you become well known for that thing. And if you can see some of these people on this picture, you would surely recognize more than a few of them and know their names and what they do. Now, this actual picture has famous Protestants in it, and there's a lot of familiar faces going all the way back to Martin Luther. As we hear today's gospel, we are enlightened to what Jesus is praying before he goes to the cross. This particular prayer is called the farewell prayer, or the high priestly prayer. And it's found in John 17, 1 through 26. Now, we began today in verse 6 and read until 19. We missed the first part of Jesus praying for himself, that God will glorify him because of the work that Jesus has accomplished. And then we also haven't put in there the last part where he prays for those who actually will experience God's love at a later time and believe in God through that love. But what we have today is enough, right? I mean, it was quite a bit. If you are confused by what you heard today in today's gospel, you're in good company. There's so much there. And John's writing sometimes, it's like listening to a stream of thought, therefore kind of difficult to comprehend. So my heretical observation is, Jesus is not following his own rule of do not ramble while you pray. Simply get to the point and be specific. Jesus is praying and proclaims to God, I have made your name known, which may include the following. Everyone belongs to you, and you sent me in love to teach and protect your people from the world. Because I am coming to you, please protect them. They have believed in you because your love has been proclaimed in me. Those in the world who have not seen your love or do not understand will not understand those who do. Unite them as we are united. Watch over them as the evil one will try to undo everything that we have worked together to accomplish. And now I will no longer be with them, as I send them out into the world. Help them. Sanctify them as they continue in my joy, as they are set apart by knowing the truth of your love through your words." That's how I think I would have summed it up. But one major mind-blowing part in this prayer was the line, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given to me, so that they may be one as we are one." You know, we get the protection part. Most of us have prayed to God for protection of our family and friends. Yet, the rest of it needs to be unpacked a little bit. Jesus says, "Protect them in your name that you have given me." And he says it twice, sequentially, one right after the other. And this means that it's very important. As the angel Gabriel visited Mary before Jesus was born, he told her to name the child Joshua, which means "the Lord saves." Through Gabriel, God has given Jesus the name God saves. This is what will protect them and us as we live into God's love. And Jesus adds, "so that they may be one as we are one." What? I'm not sure about you, but I've never felt what I imagine the connection between God and Jesus could be as something I would participate in with my fellow Christian brothers or sisters. But yet this is the hope that Jesus has placed before his followers in this prayer, as he will soon be reunited with God. This is the hope Jesus has for us. Jesus made God's name known through his teaching, bearing the name God saves, so that we may be one together as God and Jesus are one. Mind-blowing, right? I mean, those are rather high expectations, right? And I would say we have some work to do. I think about all the graduation speeches that I've heard over the years. After all, that is the season that we enter now. And how many speakers will proclaim congratulations on each student's efforts to graduate, and now go make a name of yourself out in the world. I don't think there's anything wrong with that particularly, but it is only half the story. In John's passage, Jesus says "world" 13 times in 13 verses, which means it's very important. Jesus proclaims that we are not of this world, and that the world hates us because we have believed in God's words, which are truth. We are not part of the world, just as he is not part of the world. Again, Jesus says this twice within 3 verses. The point being, Jesus is teaching again that we are set apart, that we are sanctified to be the light of the world, and we are protected by the one whose name is God Saves. We are unified with one another, as God and Jesus are unified. And if so, we are called to begin acting like we are actually unified. You know, once we graduate from one phase of life, we are made ready for another. Whether it's high school, undergraduate, graduate work, it all prepares us for the next level. We put in the work to better ourselves, to give our families the opportunities and things they need to live a fruitful life. But remember, it should be a fruitful life with fruit that will last. Jesus is praying this prayer for the commencement of the disciples so that they will be ready to journey in their next phase of life. In the reading from Acts, we hear about another graduation. The 11 disciples need to find a replacement for the one who was destined to be lost. We are reminded that Jesus was not only followed by the 12 disciples. I mean, we kind of think about that because they get mentioned mostly in Scripture, but in Acts, it reminds us, "In those days, Peter stood among the believers. Together, the crowd numbered about 120 persons. There were well over 100 believers who followed Jesus from the very beginning. Men, women, Jesus' mom and his brothers, his family, all their friends. And as time came, they prayed for God to show them who would graduate to the next level and become an apostle. They had it narrowed down to two, Joseph and Matthias. Joseph never had a chance because he was known by three different names. Who can trust that? But in Acts 1:24, we hear they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go on to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. Matthias was the one of many who had followed Jesus from the beginning. He put in the work, the study, and was open to the opportunity Jesus placed in front of him of loving those in the world who may often hate him because he believed in God's love. The same love Jesus showed by welcoming the outcast and the marginalized. Matthias was recognized by his peers and then selected by God to proceed to the next level, the next phase of becoming an apostle. It is a reminder to us today to always strive for the next level. We are called children of God. We are baptized and washed clean. We have been affirmed in faith, and we have followed Jesus as best we can. We are invited to live into the love of God and be the light of the world. And in order to get to the next level, we need to love one another so that we may be one as Jesus and God are one. Really, Pastor? Is that reality? Probably not. But it is the hope. It's the hope that we live in. After all, it is the prayer that Jesus places in front of us and his followers. Our psalm said it very well this morning. And this is the first psalm. This is how all the psalms start out. There's two ways. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seats of scoffers. But their delight is in the law or word of the Lord. And on God's law or word, they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, yet yield their fruit in its season. And their leaves never wither. In all they do, they prosper. There are two choices: follow the wicked or follow the life of Jesus. We have received the word of God, and we know in truth Jesus comes from God, and we have believed that God sent him. We have been planted by the streams of water filled with love, grace, and forgiveness. Jesus is the refreshing water that connects us to the flowing love of God. We are the trees, proof of God's redeeming life, and we are called to bear fruit that will last, not to make a name for ourselves, rather that everyone will know the name of God. How we do that is totally up to us. As we go through times of trial, as we head into more shifting, difficult times of this pandemic, times of racial and gender inequality, times of polarity in our democratic political system, times of foreign threats and cyber attacks, the challenges of illness and cancer and family breakups or reunions, ask yourself, how can I or we make God's name known? And that doesn't mean beat people up with scripture or throw the Bible at them, though it might be satisfying to do that. It doesn't mean to be passive aggressive or sarcastically say, "I'll pray for you." Jesus' prayer for us is to be united with one another as he is united with God. God's truth makes us ready for this. Will we fail? Sure. Will we get our feelings hurt? More than likely. Will it cost us something? Most certainly. Have you ever graduated from anything without any of those questions or answers coming to you? No. So why would you expect anything different when Jesus asked us to be united and to love one another? As we graduate from one level to another, we didn't know how things would actually turn out at that time. But we graduated. We strove for the next level because we know the truth of God's word. Remember, our hope is in Jesus, not ourselves. It's in Jesus who has provided all we need to graduate to the next level. We have been through the commencement. The speeches are over, and Jesus has prayed to sanctify us. He has set us apart to bring hope, life, and love to the next level, to be one as he and God are one. Start this week. Pray for unity. Pray for unity in the world. Pray for unity in our families. Pray for unity in our country. As we are Jesus' followers. We have read our scripture. We have been good students and disciples. Jesus prays that we will be unified, not homogenized, but unified. Each of us with our own various talents and abilities, our differences, and our likes and dislikes. We were never meant to be the same. Rather, in our diversity, we are called to be unified to make God's name known as Jesus had made God's name known. Amen.